So did I happen to mention that next week's on mikvah? We're recording, right? All right. So next week is our mikvah. So what did I want to do this week? I actually want to discuss a little bit about immersions. As we count through our Omer, getting down to our to Shavuot, which is next week, we'll have that mikvah combination picnic and immersion, which we're calling our miknik. So let's prepare for it. And how do we prepare? We're learning about it even a little bit more, hearing God's word about it. Because obviously, we don't enter into an immersion, and for those on the live stream or here who aren't familiar, when I say immersion or mikvah, we're talking about what most of the world calls a baptism, dipping in the water. And obviously, this going through the water is more than just trying to become physically clean. In fact, we hope before you enter into the pool, you've washed off already. You know, just saying, it's a good thing to do. But we're doing more than just becoming physically clean. It's not just the outer dirt that we want to cleanse ourselves. It's the spiritual cleansing that we're going to be going through. The Apostle Peter tells us this in 1 Peter 3:21 when he says this. Corresponding to that, immersion now brings you to safety, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but a pledge to God of a good conscience through the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua. The emphasis is on the purpose of the immersion, that it brings you to safety, a spiritual safety, not a physical cleansingness. And in fact, the ancient sage, the rabbi known as Maimonides, says the same thing when he says this in his codification of the laws on the mikvah. He said this, "It is plain that the laws about immersion as a means of freeing oneself from the uncleanliness and decrees laid down by Scripture and not matters about which human understanding is capable of forming a judgment. For behold, they are included among the divine statutes. Now, uncleanliness is not mud or filth, which water can remove, but is a matter of spiritual decree and dependent on the intention of the heart. Therefore, the sages have said, if a man immerses himself without special intention, it is as though he has not immersed himself at all." Maimonides says that if you don't have the heart attitude that's right, going through the waters is as if you didn't go through the waters at all. It's the heart attitude that counts. How many times can we say this about any part of Scripture? Because, right, you can know Scripture, you can even act out Scripture, but if your heart attitude is not right, it's as if you're not doing it at all. So Peter and Maimonides, this ancient rabbi, are saying the same thing. In fact, if we look at 1 Peter 21 in the Amplified Version, it becomes even more evident, because this is what it says in part. Verse 21, 1 Peter 3:21, in part says, "Not by the removal of outward bodily filth, bathing, but by providing you with the answer of a good and clear conscience, inward cleansing and peace before God, because you are demonstrating what you believe to be yours through the resurrection of Jesus Messiah." Or Yeshua Messiah. So the wording in the Amplified Version of Scripture makes it clear when it says, demonstrating what you believe to be yours through the resurrection. It is what you believe in your heart that makes the difference in your life. Not what the water does to your outside. What's happening in your heart as you're going through it. The act of going through the immersion is an outward expression that shows what being accepted inwardly, which is, of course, the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah Yeshua. So why should you consider going through the mitzvah next week? And this is for everyone who's here, whether you've done it before or not. There are things to consider on whether you should go through it. So, first, oh, I didn't dismiss the kids, huh? Yeah, guys. Excuse the pause in the message. But children, may you all be blessed and protected. All right, come on up. They want to be blessed. I don't blame them. You guys should have. No, come on, over here, over here, over here, over here. Come on. Stretch out your hand to them. Father, we bless them. We ask that no curse of the world be upon them. And though men may forget them, you never forget them. They are always in the palm of your hand. So I ask for protection upon them, that you give them wisdom and discernment, and your love always be there. We ask it in Yeshua's name. Amen. Go on with Miss Mona. I'm sorry, guys. Follow your cousin there. Go on. Go on that way. Go on. I got to stop pointing. He keeps looking at my pointing. I'm sorry, guys. I was so excited to get into the message. Okay. Well, I'm not starting all over. So it's that outward expression. The mikvah is the outward expression of what's going on inside of us. And what's going on inside of us is the acceptance of the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah Yeshua. So why do we consider it, even if you've gone through it before? And there are four reasons. Well, the first is the obvious. Maybe you've never been through it before. You know, not everybody has. Maybe you've just accepted Messiah, and this is the first opportunity you're going to have to go through a mikvah. Maybe the congregation you belonged to before just didn't do them. I don't know. But if you want to show that outward sign because you've never done it before, here's your opportunity. That's the first reason to do it. Second reason to do it. If you had it done as a child, but you want to, and as a child, you didn't really have the choice to do it. Maybe you belong to a church who, as a child, they did the sprinkling. You didn't have a choice. Maybe as a child, a young child, you know, your parents pushed you up there and said, you're going under. You didn't have a choice. You didn't understand. Well, now's the time you get to understand. Now's the time you get to make the choice. And that's the way we do it here, is you have to understand and you have to make the choice yourself in order to go through the waters. The Ruach's not going to force you into anything, and neither were Karen or. So you get to make the choice. So maybe you want to go through it because in the past, you didn't have the choice. Maybe in the past, you made the choice without fully understanding, just to follow the crowd. Maybe you were part of a youth group and everyone was doing it, so you just did it anyway. Maybe you didn't understand what was going on. Maybe your heart attitude wasn't right when you did it. Maybe you didn't understand everything about it. Maybe you weren't in that mental space where you need to be in order to fully accept what was going on. But now you are. Now you can make that decision on your own. That's another reason to go. And the fourth reason is maybe you've gone through a major change in your life. A lifestyle change, though, something that happened to you to show that although something major happened and it's changing your life, it doesn't mean that you've changed your spiritual life. That you still have that right relationship with Adonai through the Ruach HaKodesh. In Judaism, this is a very common reason to go through mikvahs. Just before weddings, both the man and the woman, separately, would go through a mikvah and immerse themselves. After the death of someone, a loved one, parent, child, brother, sister even, you would go through a mikvah. Even a job change meant you would go through a mikvah. A move into a new city would mean going through a mikvah. All these are good reasons to go through a mikvah, to acknowledge that your strength, that the Lord is still your strength, and that your relationship with Him is still right there. And finally, the fifth reason is just to indicate a strengthening of your relationship with Adonai. Maybe nothing's gone on in your life, but you feel like you're taking steps forward through the Ruach with Adonai. And you just want to publicly proclaim how great He is. That's a very good reason to go through the waters. So five reasons to go through. And they're all really good reasons. So it's not just because you're a new believer. It's available to everybody for many different reasons. You know, think of it as a renewal on your wedding, of your wedding, which we recently went through. You know, for some, you know, they think that the ring is that sign of your covenant together. For others, it's the ketubah, it's the marriage license that's signed before the ceremony. But these things are not the things that bind you together. It's your heart attitude. And that's what the mikveh is as well. It's that spiritual rejoining, the spiritual recommitment. It's the public proclamation of your love for Adonai. So just like that wedding rededication, it didn't nullify anything in the past. It strengthens what you've said in the past. So it doesn't matter if you're going through it for the second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh time. It's okay. It's a public proclamation. That's a good thing. So let's discuss a little bit of how it's done. Because we know in the world, the church world, it's done in many different ways. Some, as I said earlier, sprinkle water on top of the head. Others hold you, immerse you, and bring you up on their own. And all you do is lay there and do it, let them do it for you. As I said earlier, this is a personal decision that you have to be making on your own. And as a personal decision, that means you should be going through it on your own power and by your own strength and your own mind. It doesn't mean we won't be there with you, but it means you get to do it. You get to bring yourself under the water and stand back up out of the water again. Because that'll show your heart attitude, right? If it's just being sprinkled on your head, doesn't mean that you have a heart attitude of anything. If someone else is doing it for you, it doesn't necessarily show your heart attitude. But we believe that by taking yourself under the water and then bringing yourself up out of the water, that's an expression of a heart attitude and trust in Him. And there are a couple of scriptures that support full immersion. And there are two things that full immersion represents. The first is it's like re-entering the womb and being reborn again. into the mercy of God, into the love of God, into His creative powers. The second is the imagery of death, burial, and resurrection, as I mentioned earlier. Along with Messiah, as He went through it, we also will go through it. And I'm going to return to these thoughts in a moment. But first, regarding the how, Scripture seems to support full immersion, at least in my opinion. Let's take a look at what it says in the third chapter of John, John 3:23. Now John also was immersing at Enon near Salim, because much water was there, and many were coming and being immersed. It says because much water was there, indicating that there was a need for a lot of water. And if it was just a sprinkling, there wouldn't be a need for a lot of water. You do that with just a cupful of water. So there was a lot of water. Again, we see this idea of full submersion when Yeshua was immersed by John, the immerser, John the Baptist, in Matthew 3. 3:16, and Matthew says, after being immersed, Yeshua rose up out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Ruach Elohim descending like a dove and coming upon him. It says he rose up out of the water. It doesn't say he was helped up out of the water. It doesn't say it was sprinkled and he was moist, and therefore he came up. It says he came up out of the water, which means there must have been enough water to cover him to come up out of the water. And then there's what I think is perhaps the strongest reason, the one I happen to like the most. And it's found in Mark 1. It has to do with the idea that as you come out of the water, as a public display of your faith in Adonai and the Ruach HaKodesh, you're being filled by the Ruach. Here again is John, the immerser, in what he says about Yeshua and the Ruach. Mark 1, 7 and 8, it says, after me comes one who is mightier than I am. He proclaimed, that being John the immerser, I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I immerse with water, but he will immerse you in the Ruach HaKodesh. So throughout Scripture, we see this connection of being immersed in water and being immersed in the Spirit. Water and Spirit have always gone as symbolism for each other. So if the water is representative of the Ruach, do you want to just be sprinkled with the Ruach, or do you want to be immersed in the Ruach? Right? No one wants just a sprinkling of the Ruach. We want to be immersed in Him. We want all of Him. We want Him to take our whole heart. I happen to like that reason the best, because that's my heart attitude, and I hope your heart attitude as well. Ruach, take all of me. So that's why I like a full immersion. Okay, let's go back to the why again. An imagery that goes along with immersions, representing death, resurrection, as well as new life in Messiah. A person under the water represents the death-like state, right? You're not breathing. You really can't hear much going on around. It's as if buried with Yeshua in his grave. And when you come up out of the water, it's back to new life, new creation, reborn out of the womb. And I know this death and resurrection and rebirth, many times they're given as two separate ideas, but they're really one. They really can be combined. The resurrection is a rebirth of the person, whether it's from the womb or from the grave. Rav Shaul understood this death and rebirth imagery in the immersion and compared it to death and resurrection of Yeshua in Romans 6. So Romans, starting in Romans 6:3, it says, "Or do you not know that all of us who were immersed into Messiah Yeshua were immersed into his death? Therefore, we were buried together with him through immersion into death, in order that just as Messiah was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become joined together in the likeness of his death, certainly we will be joined together in his resurrection, knowing our old man was crucified with him so that the sinful body might be done away with, so we no longer serve sin." We know that when people find that their lives have changed, that they speak very similarly. They said, you know, while I was in sin, I was dead. Or, you know, before my life changed, I felt like I was just dead. And then my life changed and I came to life. It's the same thing as being reborn. It's not just a changed life, it's a new life. Coming out of the waters of immersion is just that as well. It represents the new life. Not just a rebirth, but new life. Not just a resurrection, new life. Wait a second, they mean the same thing. Yes, they do. Resurrection, new life with him. Reborn, new birth, new purpose. That's what we're looking at in an immersion. Rav Shaul presses home the point in the second letter that he wrote to those in Corinth, when he wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Speaking new life, a changed life. When we accept Yeshua, we become new. We are reborn. For some, that change in our lives really wasn't that immediate. It really wasn't that dramatic. For me, I can say that when I became born again, when I accepted Messiah Yeshua as my Savior, I did not have that great life-changing experience. I was immersed 1 week after accepting Messiah Yeshua. And after I said the prayer, it was not like I had that great, moment. I came out of the water and I was happy, but I did not have that moment. I've heard people say, you know, they were changed like that. They had habits that they broke. They came out of the water and never again. They, you know, their life changed. Their look, their attitude of life's changed dramatically. Not everyone has that experience. And that's okay. It doesn't make it any less real. There's still a newness of life. There's still a change that occurred. Just because you didn't recognize it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Still, maybe you'll see it over time. It's okay. Israel as a nation, they went through an immersion. Perhaps they didn't recognize it at the time. The act of walking through the Jordan River when exiting Egypt is a representation of the experience of immersion. They were already freed. They were free of the bondage of Israel. They were already left. They weren't in the promised land yet, that's true. But Rav Shaul points out in 1 Corinthians 10 this, starting in verse 1. "For I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. They all were immersed into Moses and the cloud and the sea." Joel tells us the nation going through the mikveh together. That's what was going on. That's what was being represented. New life for Israel. Did they all recognize it at the time? Apparently not. Because that generation didn't get out. They died in the desert. wandering around for 40 years. But the nation itself, Israel as a nation itself, the next generation, because we say as Jewish people, our history is us, right? We were the ones who live it just as truly as they did. We've gone through that as well. They all did. That next generation went through the immersion with them. And that's not the only time a mikveh is represented in the Old Covenant. Remember in 2 Kings 2, Elijah and Elisha were together. And Elijah was about to be taken up by Adonai. After Elijah was taken up by Adonai, we read this account in 2 Kings 2:14. And he, Elijah, took the mantle that fell from Elijah and struck the waters and said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he struck the waters, they parted this way and that, and Elijah went over. He went through the waters. Elijah was sent through the waters as an indication of starting something new. His new ministry was getting off the ground right there. He went from an apprentice to the rabbi. He started new, and he was being shown as aligning with the Lord by going through the waters. He knew who the Lord of Elijah was. The question wasn't really, "Where are you? Who are you?" He knew, and he was proclaiming it. He went through the waters to show it. So that's the way immersions were portrayed in Scripture. The immersion was done after faith was proclaimed publicly, after it was proclaimed and then displayed publicly. We can see this when Peter was talking to the Gentiles, and they had just become believers. They'd already received the Ruach HaKodesh, and they were already talking in tongues. But look what Peter said to them in Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, "Repent and let each of you be immersed in the name of Messiah Yeshua for the removal of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh." It shows that immersion is for believers, those who already believe. You don't become a believer by being immersed. Peter again shows that Gentiles can be saved the same way as Jewish people. Or the opposite, the Jewish people become saved as the Gentiles do. But that the receipt of the Ruach HaKodesh could be before or after the immersion, really. When Peter says, "You'll receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh," he's not saying that the gift is the Ruach HaKodesh. He's saying the Ruach HaKodesh is going to be giving the gift. And that gift is the gift of salvation. It's not really the gift of salvation because they've already accepted Messiah beforehand. That's already happened. The gift of the Ruach. Look what it says in Ephesians 2 about this gift. "For by grace you have been saved through faith." That's where these Gentiles were. They were already saved because of their faith that they already proclaimed. They were already speaking in tongues. "And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not based on deeds, so that one may boast." Salvation is not based on the act of immersion. Right? It's not an act or a deed. Otherwise, you can boast in the immersion. But that's not what we're told here. It's not on an act. We know this, Acts 4:12. "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Amen and amen. It is only through faith in Messiah Yeshua that you're saved. only through faith in Messiah Yeshua that salvation comes. The act of immersion is not what provides salvation. It's not what provides, it doesn't provide faith. It doesn't provide salvation. It doesn't provide the transportation, let's say, to heaven. What it does do is show those around you your heart attitude. That's what it's all about. It's only by the faith in Messiah Yeshua that salvation comes. It's not an act that causes it. Even if that act shows your faith. Your act can show a faith and not cause it, is what I'm trying to say. So immersion is always after faith. I would say if someone comes up to me, you know, I'm unsure, but I want to go through the immersion now. Let's wait until you're sure. Let's wait until you know. This is not the way to get salvation. This is not the way for the assurance. Immersion is always after faith comes. We see this again in Acts 10. Peter was teaching the Gentiles, and it says that while he was still teaching, the Ruach fell on them, and they started to speak in tongues and magnifying God. This is when Peter said in verse 47 of Acts 10, "Can anyone refuse water for those to be immersed who have received the Ruach HaKodesh just as we did?" So he commanded them to be immersed in the name of Messiah Yeshua. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So we see immersion occurred after faith, and faith by hearing of his grace and saving power. So again, why should you consider going through an immersion on next Sunday? The five reasons we go back to. Because you've never done it before. Because when you did it as a child and you couldn't make the decision for yourself. Because when you did do it, you didn't understand it completely. You were just following the crowd or someone had you go through it without knowing why. To indicate a major change in your life, or just to indicate the strengthening of your relationship with Messiah Yeshua. These are the reasons to go through a mikvah. These are the reasons we do it every year. It's that public proclamation of what you already know. And so next Sunday, we'll make it a celebration. We'll have a picnic and be together. And we will rejoice on those who make the decision to go through. And you will go through the water on your own because you're making the decision on your own. That decision of following Messiah Yeshua, the decision the recognition that your faith is growing from glory to glory, always increasing. That's where we should be, and that's what this immersion is going to be about. Amen? Father, we thank you that your word guides us in all things. Your word even tells us about it, about our mikvahs. Introduced to us in the Old Covenant and demonstrated in the New Covenant. Because your word does not change. As it was before Messiah, it was at the time of Messiah, and it is now as well. So I pray, Ruach HaKodesh, work on hearts. Let us know, are we to go through the mikvah next week? Is that what you want for us? Let us know. And for those who are going through it, help us to rejoice with each and every decision being made. Father, we thank you that we have opportunities to rejoice in you all the time. We just praise you and honor you. Amen and amen.